Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now rocking with the best. Talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We have Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, making this thing sound good. Got a little visitor here, too, my guy Brandon Phillips. I tell you what, we traveled to probably 30 49er games together from 2007 to 2008 to 2011, 2012, that time period. So naturally, he came to see me while his 49ers faced the Titans. So got him in studio. We got Chris Sanders coming on. Talk a little shop forever, Titans receiver. You know how we do each and every week. And just to round it out, we got Nick Wagner, ESPN NFL Nation 49ers reporter. So it's a loaded show today. I want to kind of start from the top and just set this game up because this is going to be a really interesting matchup when you look at the Titans and 49ers. I guess we could start with the rushing attack, right? That's what the 49ers do best. And I think when you look at how diverse it is. I mean, there's a lot of window dressing, a lot of different formations and different things that they do. But in essence, a lot of times they run the same play. And that zone rushing scheme is borderline unstoppable. I mean, this is a team that when they dedicate themselves to running the football, it is very, very tough to stop them. Oh, and by the way, they have a guy by the name of Deebo Samuel who is pretty good. Not as just a receiver, but a running back. And they're able to get him in the backfield, do different things to allow him to get to the outside on sweeps. And they run jet sweeps with him, end arounds, you name it, they do it. And then on top of that, the yards after catch that he brings to the table is just an extension of the rushing attack, whereas they'll screen it to him, wide receiver screens, like now routes and things like that. And then you got Brandon Ayuk, who is a pretty solid football player as well, you know, when it comes to yards after the catch. So this is going to be a huge test for the Titans defense. One thing that is good is the way that they swarm to the ball carrier. And that's really going to be essential for a guy like George Kittle, who, you know, I call him the angriest tight end in the league because he plays like he's legitimately pissed off. And you go ahead and try to tackle him. It could be 10, 11 guys trying to tackle him. He's still going to try to break the tackle. Like, he does not believe in the journey being over. Now, sometimes that has bad results by way of fumbling. But nevertheless, this is the week that it is imperative to gang tackle. And that's something that Kevin Byard had. I asked him about that. And he told me that, you know, they just as a group, as a unit, run really well with the football, really hard. So you have to bring your A game. And it's something that, you know, you look at Jayon Brown. You look at Rashawn Evans, Zach Cunningham, these guys all are going to have to, you know, sideline to sideline, make sure that they're flocking to the football. And the first guy that gets there, hold him up. The second guy, try to punch it out. The third guy, clean it up. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. But I thought it was really interesting, Jeffrey Simmons, because I asked him about that rushing attack and just, you know, what they bring to the table. And it seems like it's a challenge that he's accepted. Hear what Jeffrey Simmons had to say.
You can see it led by 71 Trent Williams. They want to, I think they want to be bully ball and try to run the ball down your throat, which they have been running the ball down people's throat. And, you know, like I said, and they led by 71. You know, he probably the most physical guy they got on their side of the ball. And he's been playing for a long time. So I think they strength is running the ball, and our strength is stopping the run. So it's kind of one of them strength-on-strength things. And I think it's going to come down to who's going to be the most physical and, you know, going to be the team that won the most. Like I said, their strength is running the ball. Our strength is stopping the run, I think. I'm very confident in my guys on defense. They're going to get the job done by stopping the run and making that quarterback try to beat us.
Sounds like challenge accepted to me. That was Rashawn Evans in the background talking. The way that we have it is set up because Tuesday was everything was jam-packed into that day. So they had guys side by side. So I apologize for the background noise. You hear the Christmas music too. They were in the mood there. But essentially the point is strength against strength and who's going to be more physical. Jeffrey Simmons feels like his unit will be more physical. A good thing for the Titans, Tyrre Tartt practiced multiple times this week. So that will obviously help the rushing attack. If you guys haven't seen what he does, then you may not be watching, because he's a really good force against the run. So that's another thing that will help. But offensively, man, they really have to figure out a way to get this thing together. The expected return of A.J. Brown will definitely help if he comes back. It's a short week, so there's a chance that he doesn't. But, I mean, you get that guy back in the lineup, and that changes everything. And Ryan Tannehill, you heard him say how he feels that A.J. Brown is just a guy that's easy to throw the football to. He mentioned, you know, his physicality, the way he fights for the football. And then, obviously, the free yards. I mean, this is a guy that'll catch a 10-yard pass and take a 50. And we've seen him do it plenty of times. So that's something to take note of. It's just Tannehill, though, three straight games under 200 yards passing, two consecutive games without a passing touchdown. This team could run the football. They could do that. But they're really struggling to pass the ball. I believe it's like 202 yards per game that they're averaging. And that's just not going to do it. It's not going to do it. So they need to get some plays in the passing game. They need to, you know, get better scoring in the red zone. Now, that is an area where Tannehill does help them. He has 7 rushing touchdowns this year, which is a career high for him. So that's a positive. But ultimately, this game and pretty much all of the Titans games, when they don't have Derrick Henry, it comes down to turnovers. And you look at the stretch where they had the six wins. The defense was able to create 11 turnovers. They won 6 games. Included in that was the game against the Rams where Kevin Byard had that pick 6, and that put them ahead for good. Now, over these last 4 games, things have changed. The defense hasn't been able to create turnovers consistently. I believe they had 2 in the Jaguars game, right? But they had 0 in the other 3 in the Texans loss. I mean, it was 5-0, the turnover column. I don't care if you're the 94-49ers going against the 2018 or 2019 Lions, whatever team it was that didn't win a game, led by Dan Orlovsky. No, Dan, I'm just kidding, man. He was a part of the team. He didn't lead them. But you get what I'm saying, though. It could be 2 really bad matchups. You know, a really good team going against a really bad one. And if you have 5 turnovers, it's going to be tough to win. So that's really my point there. And you look at the other losses, right, against the Patriots, 4 turnovers. Against the Steelers, 4 turnovers. That's the key. This offense cannot afford to turn the football over at the rate that they are. 13 turnovers and 3 losses. You cannot win like that. And especially when you don't have Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry. It's a lot tougher to win like that because you have to maximize each opportunity you get. And that's, I mean, something you want to do regardless. But when you have a lack of playmakers, you have to figure out a way to be more efficient with the football. Ryan Tannehill, you know, a guy who has been given that franchise QB sticker, you have to elevate the game around you. But in addition to that, they need to call more plays that make it more conducive for him to be successful. That being said, against the Steelers, I mean, they I think it was, 4.9 yards a pop they were getting. That's when they rushed the ball 42 times. But that's one of those ones where you might want to run it even more. And unfortunately for the Titans, they got away from it a little bit. Now, they did get back on track late in the game, but they came up short in that fourth quarter drive. But, I mean, this team dominated in time of possession. You look at the first half, the Steelers only had the ball 8 minutes and 41 seconds. The Titans' last drive in the first half was longer than the whole period the Steelers had the ball in the first half themselves. It was a 10-minute-plus drive. They turned around and they lost the game after winning 13-3 at halftime. How do you do that? Turnovers. In this case, it was three consecutive drives where they had a turnover. And let me tell you something. Being in that stadium, like, you could really feel the momentum. Heinz Field was quiet. There wasn't a towel being waved in the whole stadium. But Ferkser had his first turnover in the second half where he caught the second quarter where he caught the ball and tried to turn up field. That was a first down. At that time, they had converted 4 out of 6 third down opportunities. They could have taken control of that game. Coincidentally, that turnover led to the first Steelers point. At that time, they hadn't even passed the 50-yard line. You turn the football over and give an offense the ball on the plus side of the field, it's tough to win. But this defense, they've been fire stoppers. You know, they've gone out and stopped the fire consistently. 4 turnovers only led to 12 points. But the 12 points proved to be too much. The Steelers scored 16 unanswered points in the second half. And lo and behold, 19 to 13 loss is just not acceptable for a team that wants to be the top seed in the AFC. We'll see how this continues to pan out. We're going to get into this a little bit more with Chris Sanders and talk a little shot with Nick Wagner. First, we're going to pay these bills. We'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
What are we?
Yes, sir.
Let me get those strings. All right. That's right, back from the break, talking with TD as the music fades away, the lights dim, the music comes on. And now, starting for your Boston Celtics at small forward, number 31, Cedric Maxwell.
Oh, man. And now, this is my classic, too. Starting for the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, man.
T.R. Dunn.
I was about to sing Amazing Grace. I thought you were going to hit me with the Alex English.
I was going to do that, but, man, I kind of switched in the moment. Man, what's going on with you, man? These Tennessee Titans, you think they're going to do it this week?
Hey, man, I don't know about this week. This one is this what? One could have some
whoa,
personal –
whoa, whoa, whoa.
What? I don't know about this week, man. Oh, this team, this 49ers team has won 5 of the last 6 games.
Yeah.
They're red hot. They're running the football really well. Jimmy Garoppolo is chucking that ball around the field, and daggone, that Deebo Samuel's something special, you hear me? Oh, and
he's
then
big, man.
And then you got the world's angriest tight end in George Kittle. I mean.
Yeah, he is angry. But then there's another cat that we need to talk about that's really come in, because, you know, the beginning of the season, he was in Shannon's doghouse. That's Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk.
So Ayuk. That's not like a house call or something. But other than that, man, he's balling, man. He's getting better. So just imagine with Deebo Samuels and Kittles and, you know, him coming along. You're right, man. This could be a dangerous game.
What do you think of the way they use Deebo Samuel? I actually I did a Whiteboard Wednesday this week focused on it. It's just like it's a basic sweep, but they set it up so much differently where they have the running back and like a wing. Jeff Wilson at the wing. Ayuk is lined up all the way out wide. And Deebo and Kyle Juszczyk, another underrated player, violent player, they are side by side with Garoppolo. And then they motion Wilson.
Yeah.
He kicks out. Juszczyk kicks out the end. George Kittle seals. And then Deebo just takes the sweep. What do you think of just, you know, his ability to run the football?
Okay, I'm going to give props to their scouting department. And the reason why I'm giving the props to their scouting department is because they saw this guy, that he can do so many things. He can play in the wildcat. He can play in the slot. He can beat you deep. They're just using his strength to help this 49ers football team. So that's just a great job by them of saying, okay, you know what? We got this guy. He catches the ball. He runs great at the yards after the catch. Okay, let's take it beyond that. He runs physical after he catches the ball. So you take that, put him at running back, put him at receiver. You're just using his ability to make this 49ers team better.
There are 3 guys in the history of NFL, including yourself. You know, you play, so you're included in this. Only 3 guys have done what Deebo Samuel done this season. 1,000 yards receiving.
Crazy.
5 receiving touchdowns and 5 rushing touchdowns. So all the guys in the league, including yourself, only Deebo Samuel, Marshall Faulk, and Roger Craig have done that.
Wow.
That's an outstanding. Wow. And he's on pace to be the first receiver to lead his team in rushing touchdowns. He has 7 right now. So this is something different that
right.
the Titans are dealing with. But let's shift it over to the Titans rushing attack because yeah. we look at the success that they've had, right? 4 consecutive right. games, over 100 yards. 2 of those games, they had over 200 yards. Coincidentally, mm-hmm. both times they lost. So if I were to tell you that Titans rushing attack would still do that, despite Derrick Henry not being there, what would you say?
What you talking about, Willis?
Basically. So that being said, when you have them still yeah. having that success running the football, why on earth is the play-action passing game not where it should be?
I know, but, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the running game. Even though Derrick Henry's not out there, mm-hmm. the attitude never changes. I mean, and that's why we always talk about the identity of the team, you know, a team that has their identity. When you have identity of a team, and you put a different guy in there, you still want to get the same results. I know the offensive line is struggling in pass pro, but when it comes to this running game, they're fourth, you know, in the league in running, in rushing, but they still have the same attitude, and there's still big holes that Hiller and Foreman are running through. So you got to give your props out to this offensive line, man. They're doing a great job.
They could run block, but the pass pro is definitely not there. But, I mean, you're right. There are holes, and it's crazy. Right. And not a slight to Hiller or a slight to Foreman because
right.
me saying this is comparing them to a Martian. But, you know, there are some runs. Even, like, last week there were 2 or 3 runs where I was like, man, that's Derrick Henry. That's a house call. You know, so
absolutely.
I think that's where they're lacking. And that's the thing that makes it a little tough to wrap your head around just the fact, mm-hmm. okay, this rushing attack is still working, but it's just not the same for the offense. And I think that's why, because there isn't as much concern about rushing the ball, allowing teams to do that, you know what I mean, without Derrick Henry out there. So that, in my opinion, is messing up play action. But you've been there. You've done that. You were one of the best deep threats this franchise has yep. ever had. So
say that one more time.
Nope. you were one of the best deep threats this franchise has ever had. So yep. And there were times where you got the rock on play action. So
right.
kind of break it down for the listeners just how that play action really opens things up for a deep threat like yourself.
I mean, it really is. And the one thing that it does is it has those linebackers creep up a little bit. Because mm-hmm. when you have Derrick Henry, you have a rushing attack that's so good at what they do. The safety, they put an extra safety in the box. When I say a strong safety and they play a cover 3, it opens up the play action because those linebackers take a quick step up. And then you run behind those linebackers, and then they're trying to play catch-up. So if you have a linebacker trying to play catch-up and you get behind the linebackers, that's why you saw last year Corey Davis catch a lot of crossing routes, because Derrick Henry was running the ball so well that he ran behind those linebackers and caught the ball in those spaces.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So what do you think is going to take for Ryan Tannehill to take advantage of this? Because, I mean, you look last week, yeah. there was, you know, they had that play-action glance route to Julio Jones, but he checked it down to right. Jeremy McNichols. It was still a 7-yard game.
Right.
But, I mean, do you think that there's a confidence thing or like, a loss of cockiness to make those tight window throws?
I just think that it's a confidence thing. I mean, just look at when he fumbled the ball against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I know this is a little thing, but it's a big thing. The reason why he fumbled the ball is because he's not looking to get the ball. He's looking up because he knows there's some pressure's coming. So if you look up and you don't take the snap, you're going to fumble the ball. So, yes, a confidence thing, but, yes, just getting hit all the time. If you consistently get hit in the mouth, you consistently get hit on the play, you're going to be a little tentative on things you do, because he's been taking some shots this year. But the one thing that he's going to have to do, and this is where he's going to get his confidence back, is he's got to sit back, throw a deep, long ball to whoever it is, up to Westbrook, A.J. Brown, Chester Rogers, whoever it is, get that long pass. That's when that confidence starts to build back up, because you completed the ball.
I didn't even think about that. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that botched snap
yeah.
being, hey, looking up to. Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't yeah. even think about yeah. that, man.
Absolutely.
That's so right. That's so yeah. right. And it's funny. You also mentioned taking the deep shot. Man, they wanted to do that right from the gate, right? Julio
Absolutely.
Jones was open. He yeah. was open, you know, but they just didn't have the time. It's so unfortunate. when you look at just how imbalanced this offense is, and the deep shots aren't there. Westbrook Akinney had an opportunity to make one.
Oh, he got to make
it. But he didn't, yeah. And it's interesting because some people blame that on Tannehill, but, you know, you got to, you know, as receivers, what you have to do. You know, you tuck and you put your arms out at the last, the late hands, and he didn't have those.
Yeah, I mean, those are the plays that, you know, you got to make. Because you better believe, when it starts to get to the playoffs, because, you know, the Tennessee Titans are going to the playoffs, those are the plays that you have to make, because at the end of the day, if you don't make those plays, you go home. So if they can make those plays, and I'm not saying make 5 and 6, just make 1 or 2. If you make 1 or 2, then now you put yourself in position, you know, to win a ball game.
If A.J. Brown comes back, what does he give this team?
A threat. I mean, he's a threat that can make something happen. And, you know, it may not be a long post or a long D route. It's about catching a 5-yard hitch, making a guy miss, and getting taking a 5-yard play and making it into a 20-yard play. So that's kind of what we've been missing. I know Westbrook and Rodgers have been catching passes, but the one thing they have been doing is catching passes. They're not having yards after the catch. Mm-hmm. So now you got A.J. Brown, big physical specimen guy, a guy like, I think, was it last year against the Baltimore Ravens,
Yeah, where he gave the whole team a ride, man.
The whole team. It was pony time. He caught a slant, and he took people for a ride. So
Ride it.
So if he does something like that, you keep those chains moving. So it brings another element of physicality, but also a guy who can take a play that's small into a big play.
And it's interesting because he and Deebo Samuel, they trained together at Exos.
Hey.
Leading up to the – yeah, man, they both, like, they are running back body receivers,
right.
You know. So
right.
I would love to see and Coach Arthur Smith did it somewhat, you know, the jet sweeps and some of those different, you know, counters and things like that to get him to football. I would like to see Coach Downing do that because I think you could really take advantage of that. And I mean, this guy, I think he had – I don't remember how many rushing – I think it was like 3 rushing touchdowns he's had before, so – he's definitely capable of doing that. On the way out, what's your analysis on this game? Well, what are you thinking Thursday Night Football is going to end up being?
You know, I think this is my opinion.
And be careful. I have my homie with me. He's a 49er fan, and we used to travel the games together for three years straight. So be careful. I'm trying to be able to get in the car and ride back to my house without getting slapped.
Here's why I say the Tennessee Titans are going to win. And the reason why I say they're going to win is, number one, everybody said that that the Buffalo Bills were hot at that time. They were. They said that about the Rams. They were. They're saying that about the 49ers. They are. Every team that they say was hot at that time, the Tennessee Titans knocked off. So the Tennessee Titans are built for this. Why? Because every team that they faced that were hot at that time, they hit them in the mouth. Game over. I say Tennessee Titans 24, the 49ers 14.
14 points. We'll see what happens. I mean, you got this running defense against the rushing attack. That's going to be interesting. I'll have my score up, on the .com. I don't know about 24-14, but I guess we'll see. We shall see.
Hey, man, I saw my boy yesterday, man. He said, man, the dude you on the radio, he looked like Craig Mack. I'm like, he looked just like him, man.
Oh, really? That's a darn shame because someone else told me that we should do a video together because you look like Busta Rhymes. Bad boy.
Man, I appreciate it. Appreciate you, Doc. Let's go get this done.
For sure, man. Appreciate right, you. Boss. We'll talk next
welcome,
week.
Man. All right, boss.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD, a little Bay Area music, E40. Anytime you hear E40, you already know 49er talk is about to happen. So what are we going to do? We're going to bring in my guy, Nick Wagner, ESPN NFL Nation 49ers reporter. Nick is here in Nashville, so it's great to be able to cover a game together. What's up, man?
How you doing, man? It is. I just realized. I don't know. I don't think we've done that yet, have we?
No, we have not. So this is the first.
Yeah, we almost had a Super Bowl, man. We were real close.
Yeah, very, very close, man. But you know, Pat Mahomes did what he did, and hey, here we are. But speaking of Super Bowl, I mean, these are two teams that have Super Bowl aspirations. Obviously, The Titans are, you know, gearing up for an AFC South title. The 49ers, I think, are one of the teams that nobody wants to see. And lo and behold, the Titans have to see them now. So I guess we could get into the streak, right? You look at this 5 out of the last 6 games. What has really been behind that?
Yeah, there's a few things, Teron. And number one, I wrote about this, you know, when they were going through that losing streak earlier in the year. And one of the big things about the Niners from a team-building standpoint is that they have reached that point in their development where they've paid a lot of guys, right? So they've paid a lot of their own guys those big contracts. And what happens when you do that, it kind of thins out the middle of your roster. So you lose those $6, $7, $8 million a year players, and so you become a little bit top-heavy. And what that does to me is it means that those guys who are paid at the top, they have to carry the freight, right? They have to be your best players, and they have to be on the field. And so at the beginning of the year, you didn't see a lot of that. George Kittle was hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo got banged up. Fred Warner wasn't having his best season. You know, Trent Williams was doing his thing. But, you know, there was just a lot of kind of pieces that still kind of had to fall in place. And what's happened here over the last, you know, 8 weeks or so is that those guys are healthy and they're on the field and they are producing at a very, very high level, at a Pro Bowl level. And you can go up and down that list of guys I just named, whether it's Nick Bosa, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel. Those guys are playing like legitimate all pros. And so that has been the biggest difference to me, is that they're getting that, a lot of that production from those top guys. And then the other thing is, sometimes, you know, TD, we talk about this thing like it's super complicated, but there's one thing that is always very simple, and it's just turnovers. Stop turning the ball over and start getting takeaways. And that's really what's happened. They've cut down in a big way on the turnovers of their own, and the defense is starting to get them at more kind of timely situations. And I think it's a combination of all those things that has led to this turnaround here.
It's funny you mention that, because that's actually – I just went on like a 5-minute rant about the Titans and their turnovers. So it's funny you mention that, because you look over this last – so they've lost 3 of the last 4 games. In those 3 games, they turned the football over 13 times. Now, I don't know how Mike Vrabel still has hair, because I would have been pulling mine out with that, because they spend so much time on it. But that being said, like, what have you seen as far as the 49ers and their ability to curb these turnovers? Because, I mean, it just doesn't happen naturally. There's something that has to be contributing to it.
Yeah, one of the big things, TD, is getting back to the run game, kind of reestablishing their identity in that way. And, you know, when you don't ask Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball 40 times a game, you know, one of the complaints about Jimmy Garoppolo is that he kind of makes the same mistakes over and over, right? So he'll throw an interception to a linebacker that's doing kind of a simple drop, and he doesn't see him, and it's a pick. You know, those are the kinds of things that have happened in the past when Jimmy Garoppolo has struggled. But if you're not asking him to throw as much, guess what? You're not risking that as often. And if the running game is rolling and the other team is looking for it, it also opens up some things that way in terms of windows that are bigger for him to throw into and all those types of things. And so that's really kind of what the formula has been, is they've gotten back to running the football effectively. You know, they're not necessarily ripping off the big chunks like they did when Raheem Mostert was healthy in 2019, but they're doing it enough that they can keep defenses honest a little bit. And it's allowing Jimmy Garoppolo, TD, I've written about this too, is if you look at Garoppolo's numbers, they're not going to blow you away, just the pure counting numbers. But what he's doing so well is taking advantage of the opportunities that he gets. I think he's like 22nd in the league in attempts overall, but he's first in the league in yards per attempt. So it's not about the quantity of passes that he's throwing. It's about the quality of them. And so when you put those two things together, it makes for an efficient offense. It also limits the possibilities of turning the ball over.
Yeah, you pointed out 3rd in passing yards, 4th in QBR. So it's the 8th in passing touchdowns. So you're absolutely right. It's about the quality of it. And it's so crazy how this mirrors what Ryan Tannehill did in 2019 and 2020. You don't want these guys, either of these quarterbacks, you don't want them dropping back 35 to 40 times. Like, you don't want that.
Exactly.
And they're more effective when you limit it. But at the same time, it requires sticking to the run. Now, one way the 49ers have stuck to the run is that, man, that Deebo Samuel, he's something special. So kind of let me know, open up a bit on how you've seen them really take advantage and maximize his skill set.
Yeah, so it was kind of almost born out of necessity, right, where they started using Deebo Samuel as just a full-fledged running back. You know, we've seen in the past, even in the Super Bowl, people probably remember, you know, Deebo taking jet sweeps and reverses and things like that, where he's getting handoffs that way. But what they have done is basically effectively use him as a running back. And I'm not talking just 2 or 3 times a game, but something closer to like 6 to 8 runs per game. And the crazy thing about it, Teron, is when I talk to people about Deebo Samuel and him playing running back, now he has a little bit of a history doing it, right?
Right.
He did it in high school. He did some of it in college. But he hasn't done it in this type of a system. And if you ever talk to any running backs that run a lot of outside zones, it's kind of complicated. You know, it's not just take the ball and run. It's like there's a lot of patience involved. Your footwork is important. The track that they have to stay on is very important. The timing of when they hit the hole is very important. All of that stuff. But Deebo Samuel is just like a natural. Like, he doesn't spend hardly any time in the running back's room. He is a see, watch, listen, and do kind of person. And so they put him out there in practice, and Bobby Turner will tell him this is the way it needs to go and this is how it needs to look. And then he just does it. So there's just like a little bit of that kind of like ingrained football knowledge in Deebo Samuel that allows him to be so successful as a receiver and then as a running back also. And so he is a special player. I've covered a lot of really good players in the league. I've never covered one quite like him, just in terms of his ability. And the other part of it too, TD, is he's fearless. He's just completely fearless. He doesn't care about running between the tackles. He doesn't care what, you know, just put the ball in his hands and let him go. And that's the other kind of beautiful part of it too, is you know, if you're a defense and you want to keep the ball out of Deebo Samuel's hands as a receiver, there are ways to do that. But if he plays running back, the ball's going in his hands and there's nothing you can do about it. So that's kind of the other benefit to it for the 49ers.
Yeah, the more you could do. And you say you've covered a lot of players, really good ones, but I bet you haven't covered a tight end better than George Kittle. And this guy's on a tear, man. You look at his last three games. So what has come alive for him?
Yeah, he really is. And it's funny because, you know, you watch a guy. I've covered him since he started as a rookie, and the way he has developed, particularly as a pass catcher and as a route runner. And TD, you were actually privy to it some over the summer. You know, you talk about the tight end academy or tight end university that they do here in Nashville, where George Kittle and Travis Kelce got all those guys together, and, you know, they were working together. Well, you can look at that from the outside and say, well, Kittle's one of the best tight ends in the league. I mean, he's probably doing a lot of the teaching. But I think he really did a lot more learning than maybe people gave him credit for there.
Yeah.
Because some of the route running and things that he does now, I would say he runs a more complete route tree. I think the Niners are unafraid to use him to run just about any route that they want. There was a game, it was 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati, where he was unbelievable. It was one of the best games I've ever seen him play. And he caught, I think he had at least two catches running six different routes. On six different routes, he had at least two catches. So just to kind of give you an idea of like the depth and breadth of what he can do and the ways that they can utilize him, he's playing as good as anybody in the league right now. And I don't say just tight ends. I mean just about anybody in the league. 425 receiving yards over the last three games. Only Darren Waller last year has ever done that much as a tight end in modern history.
Yeah, Darren Waller is the truth, too. And coincidentally, he was there at tight end U with him. And you are right about the routes, because let me tell you something. Jason Kelce, thinking of my Eagles day, Travis Kelce put on a clinic about route running. And it was really interesting, some of the things that he said as far as like coming out of the breaks. Because I remember one time he had said that, you know, it's kind of like a pitcher coming off the mound and how you slide and like, get momentum coming out of your breaks. And I was like, man, that makes so much sense. So I would imagine that Kittle kind of gained from that. So that's a great point you bring out there. But what about the defense? Okay, let's look at the defense. Bosa is something special, man. Like, that guy really comes off the edge and he does some things. What about him?
Yeah, that's the guy who is, I mean, look, when he arrived in 2019, he was already and when we talk about great players I've covered in the past, mind you, I covered Aaron Donald. I was there when Aaron Donald came into the league. And I'll never forget watching Aaron Donald in St. Louis. And literally from the first day he was on the practice field, even to my amateur eyes, like, this is the best player here, right? Like, it was just so obvious. Bosa had kind of that similar aura, like a similar type of way about him, where it was just like, this guy's so polished. He's so refined. Like, you know, he's obviously a good athlete and he's in great shape and all that kind of stuff. But just kind of the way he carries himself and some of the tools that he has in his bag, where you could see right away how good this guy is going to be. And now, you know, last year he obviously missed most of the season with a torn ACL, which makes what he's doing this year even more impressive.
Yeah.
But he just is continuing to find ways to get better. And the crazy thing, TD, is if you go back, I think it was after the Packers game, Nick Bosa wasn't used to getting double teamed a lot, right? Because he used to have DeForest Buckner next to him. And so that was the world that he lived in when he came into the league as a rookie. And Buckner usually got most of the double team attention. So Bosa had more one-on-ones. Well, now Buckner's gone and Bosa's clearly the guy. So he has been double teamed more than any edge rusher in the NFL this year. And at the beginning of the year, he was very honest with us, had a very honest moment after the Packers game where he said, you know what? I just, like, there are moments in games where I just throw my hands up and say, man, this sucks. You know, like, I can't do anything here. Like, well, this is, it's not any fun. I, you know, I just have to keep hoping and, you know, that I'm going to get one-on-one opportunities, but they're not coming. And a very human moment, right? But what he did was he took that and said, okay, I can't just sit there and throw my hands up and hope that somebody else makes the play. I still have to figure out a way to do that. And so you've seen that the Niners, to their credit, have drawn up some more things to get him loose. But one of the things that he's done a lot of is Nick Bosa has freedom, TD, to move from side to side. He can line up over whichever tackle he wants on any given down. And I think, at least going into last week, he had 14 sacks, and he had 7 sacks on the left side and 7 sacks on the right side. Like, so he's equally successful no matter where he's rushing from. And it's also giving him opportunities to maybe avoid some of those double teams or at least create more favorable opportunities.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. This week, he'll probably want to line up on the left side a little bit more going against David Quisenberry, who's a really cool guy, but he's struggling a bit. We just got the injury report, and it looks like there's some guys out for the 49ers. You got Elijah Mitchell's out. Maurice Hurst is out. Those are the main names. Kwaski Tartt, full participant, and looks like he'll play. So that's good. I like Kwaski Tartt. He'll come up and spike you. So speaking of him, and we're talking to Nick Wagner, ESPN NFL Nation 49ers reporter. What's up with the secondary? I know there's some injuries there. How are they dealing with that? Tartt himself was coming off an injury.
Yeah, it has been a tough year for that secondary in a lot of ways. And, you know, it started in week one. They lost Jason Verrett, who was their kind of number one corner coming back, although, you know, his long injury history had made it a little risky to kind of come into the season that way. And to me, TD, that was the big thing is, you know, I think that the 49ers – maybe didn't address cornerback as well as they should have in the offseason. And that's not a 2020 hindsight thing. That was the thing everybody was kind of saying at the time because you were losing Richard Sherman. Yes, you brought Verrett back, but you knew what his injury history was. And the only two things they really did to bolster that group was, in addition to bringing Verrett back, was draft a corner in the third round, Ambry Thomas, who didn't play at all last year at Michigan, and Diamador Lenore, a fifth-round corner from Oregon, who's had some good moments, but also is still kind of wrapping his mind around some of the, you know, assignment things that he needs to do to be sound on the back end. So they've really put themselves in a tough spot where you've got Josh Norman starting. Emmanuel Mosley, who is their probably most consistent corner, has been dealing with an ankle issue. He's on injured reserve right now. So they have Ambry Thomas starting opposite of Josh Norman right now. And so there was, especially early in the season, a lot of issues with pass interference, illegal contact, defensive holding, hands to the face, those kinds of things that have been issues for them. So even if the numbers, like the raw numbers, don't look terrible in terms of passing yards allowed, in fact, I think they look pretty good. But if you factor in the penalty issues and some of the first downs and even touchdowns that they've given up because of that, I think it would look a lot worse than what it does just in terms of just the pure numbers. But the big thing they have going for them, as you just mentioned it, I think they're really good at safety. Jimmy Ward, to me, is one of the most underrated players in the league.
Yes.
At free safety. He's just an eraser, and just at least in terms of pure coverage guys playing free safety, he's right up there. No disrespect to the guy you cover here, Kevin Byard, one of my favorite players in the league. He's a great player. I think Jimmy Ward's in that category. I think he's in that area, just not as quite as much of a playmaker in terms of takeaways, but a really good player. And so when they have him, he at least stabilizes things on the back end. Jaquaski Tartt is a really solid player. His thing has always just been staying on the field. He's coming off the ankle thing this week, but it looks like he's going to be okay and good to go. So as long as they have those two safeties, it kind of helps balance things out. But at the end of the day, TD, this defense is still all about the pass rush. And if they're able to get that front four revved up and going like they have over the last few weeks, it makes life a lot easier on the back end.
Well, life should be a bit more easier for them. And it's crazy you mentioned the pass rush because that leads me right into something else from this injury report. And Taylor Lewan, the left tackle. Roger Saffold, the left guard. Both are out for Thursday. Now, Lewan played all 78 snaps last week or on Sunday, but he showed up on the injury report with a back injury and he didn't practice at all this week. And Saffold, he had the yellow jersey on and he is dealing with a nerve condition. Man, that's bad news. If I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm not going to say I'll make a business decision, but I will be thinking a little bit closely about coming out. But, hey, man, better him than me. That dripping sound you hear is slobber, Drew coming from Nick Bosa's mouth because he knows what he's about to do. So I guess we know what we're about to cover. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. And, man, things change a little bit with that status.
It should be a fun one, TD, man. If nothing else, like, I just think that the way these two teams are built, they're very similar in a lot of ways, just in terms of the, you know, you mentioned the Tannehill and Garoppolo comparison, which is spot on, how much those two like to work between the hashes and some of that kind of stuff and run the ball. But just the physical element here that I think you're going to see, I think you're going to get a bit of a knockdown, drag-out fight. And maybe it'll be even uglier than usual just because it's a Thursday night, and that's always tough, but it should be a really interesting one to watch, at least from a physicality standpoint.
No doubt about it. Well, I will definitely see you soon, man. I appreciate you coming on, ladies and gentlemen. Nick Wagner, ESPN, NFL Nation, 49ers reporter. I'll see you in a little bit, man.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. So that was Nick Wagner. Plenty of information there. I'm glad we got to get him on because we definitely got the chance to catch up on what exactly is making this team hot. So appreciate Nick Wagner, my ESPN NFL Nation compadre, covering the 49ers. Appreciate Chris Sanders coming on. Always a pleasure to talk shop, even though he looks like Tyrone Hill, but it's all good. Appreciate you, Elijah Campbell, coming on, and my guy Brandon Phillips coming to spend some time. Most of all, I appreciate each of you for tuning in and checking out this show. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe, all of that. We appreciate you. Definitely check out Whiteboard Wednesday, ESPN.com. We have a couple stories up about what's wrong with the offense and what's wrong with the Titans overall, so check those up. Also, the TD Power Hour coming to you Thursday, 3 to 4, before the Titans-49ers game. What else we got here, Elijah? 10 o'clock Central Time, DDC, Darren Donegan Chase. We're on there. And wrap it up, 8 a.m. on Friday. Not this week. We're going to be on Thursday this week for... What is that show? Wow, Robbie Stanley. Stanley and Robbie and Rex Road. I forgot that one. Sorry, guys. But we're on the go. So go ahead and wrap this thing up. Again, appreciate everybody for tuning in. We're out of here.